Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the following show is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Before You Buy number 2, recorded January 12th, 2012, CES Preview. Before You Buy is brought to you by Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. Hello and welcome back to CES 2012. Leo Laporte here, and we are about to do Before You Buy, our product review show. What better place to do a product review show than the Ultimate Product Expo? 2,700 exhibitors, 150,000 attendees, and it's just been an amazing show. We're in day 3 of the Consumer Electronics Show here in Las Vegas. I have seen a ton of products, and we're going to bring a parade of products up here. This is a little bit of a different Before You Buy. Instead of us reviewing the products, we haven't really had time to play with them, so we're going to bring the product reps up. We don't usually do that, and let them show us the products. So think of this as a first look or a first hands-on of some new stuff from CES. Just before we begin, maybe I'll just give you a little summary of, you know, kind of what I think CES has been like. A couple of surprises. This is Microsoft's last CES. They announced they're not going to have a booth here. Steve Ballmer's not going to do the keynote for the indefinite future. His keynote was fairly lackluster on Monday night. The only big announcement from him was a new Windows version of Kinect, a close-up Kinect for $249. It'll be available February 1st, but very much the same technology that we saw on the Xbox 360. I think the kind of the surprise of the show, there's dual surprises. One is that we haven't seen any Windows 8 tablets or very little Windows 8 stuff, and that's mostly because Microsoft still hasn't released a beta of Windows 8. On the other hand, the surprise success from Microsoft here is the fact that Windows Phone 7 has and 7.5 Mango has received such a great response, especially because of the Nokia models, including the Lumia 900, which is really quite spectacular. That'll be available on AT&T using AT&T's new LTE network. Price and date have not been announced. This is not a computer show by any stretch of the imagination. Never has been, but laptops, computers have always been a big part of it, even tablets. I have to say, we are definitely in a post-PC era. Even though Intel has been showing its Ultrabooks, and there are a number of companies with Ultrabooks here, they're not garnering any attention. It really is all about tablets, mobile, and TVs. CES is a TV show in many respects. 3D TV, which was the big story for the last few years of CES, is here, but it's hardly a big story. Every TV has it. It's just kind of something that comes along for the ride. I think the television manufacturers were disappointed by sales in 2011. They didn't get the traction they thought they would with 3D. Consumers did not flock. Oh, I hear an Edge phone going off. We must have... Yes, Sony's Xperia is getting Edge. That's okay. Well, no, what happens? It falls back to Edge. Those are Edge sounds. And we've had that before. I haven't heard that sound in years. But it's because the 3G is so bad here. We're going to take a look at the Xperia in just a second. But I was saying that in televisions, the big story, I think, and Scott Wilkinson concurs, we took a little tour, and I hope you've seen or will see Home Theater Geeks from CES, because we showed you those new 4-millimeter thick AMOLED displays or OLED displays from LG, Samsung, and the stealth OLED display from Sony. I think they're really incredible. And the winner of the three, clearly Samsung, which decided to go with an RGB technology, not a subpixel technology. It's a gorgeous display. Both LGs and Samsungs will be available this year, probably in the fall. We don't know prices yet. They'll probably be very, very expensive. But I think this is the first time in several years we've seen a new television technology. It's been LCD and plasma for a long time. These OLED displays are finally here, and I think consumers are going to love them. I'm going to love them. I can't wait to get them. And even though it's, you know, it's kind of the flashy concept product of the show, I think by next year, it'll be OLED everywhere. This is going to be a very big year for OLED television starting in the fall. So those are some of my thoughts. We've got some great products coming up for you. In fact, on the show today on BYB, we're going to take a look at those headphones that I got last year inserted in my ear, the Sonomax. They're coming up. We're going to take a look at the HTC Titan 2. We've got the HP Envy Spectre 14 Ultrabook, a really wacky Ultrabook idea from Lenovo called the Yoga, because it does the downward dog. I'll explain that in just a bit. Toshiba's got some tablets. Samsung's got some stuff. We'll see the Vita from Sony, the PlayStation Vita. All of that coming up in just a little bit. But let's start off right now with Stephen Sneeden. He is from Sony Ericsson. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the show. And you brought some Xperia phones. These are, you know, it's. I think these are great phones. They don't get the attention perhaps they deserve. Why don't you give me a rundown as I go through the phones one by one of what I'm looking at. This is a beautiful. Now, tell me about the display. That looks like an OLED display.
It's a 720p LED.
720p LED display.
And it has the Mobile Bravia engine from Sony, so you get really true colors on it.
Wow. Yep. Well, that's what I was noticing immediately. Look how bright and beautiful that is.
And
that's a gorgeous
4.6 inches, too.
4.6. I like a bigger display. Thin. It feels nice in the hand. This is what's the model called?
It's called the Xperia Ion.
The Ion.
It's going to be launching exclusively at AT&T.
Okay.
In the second quarter, and it's LTE.
You know, AT&T LTE is really knocking people's socks off. Yeah. It's really fast. 20 megabits down here in the show floor. In fact, the 3G's not working so well because everybody's got an iPhone. So this is the chance. This is your chance to get some really high speed. Great screen. You know, I've had problems with the Nexus 720p display because of the Pentile subpixels. Mm-hmm. This is you chose LCD instead of OLED,
yeah.
And I have to say, this looks really nice.
Well, and
also real buttons, which I really like. These are capacitance buttons,
including a dedicated camera key down there.
Ah, that's nice.
And that's really crucial because you've got a great camera story here.
Tell me about the camera.
Well, your primary camera is 12 megapixel.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
With the XMORe sensor from Sony, so under low light conditions, you get really great shots.
You're kidding.
But in addition, you have really fast capture, too. From sleep mode to your first shot, it's going to be about 1.5 seconds or less.
So I do that with by the way, I love it. The camera icon looks like a Sony NEX camera. That's really great. Smart branding on that.
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Well, there's a big story there. I'll tell you about it in a second.
Okay.
But the fast capture also from shot to shot is a second or less.
That's really important nowadays.
Yeah.
Now, this looks like it's running Gingerbread. Do you have plans for ice cream sandwich?
Launching on Gingerbread, but we've already announced every intention it will be ice cream sandwich.
All right, I'm going to take a picture of you. We're going to see just how good this Bravia and Exmor engines are here. Boy, that was fast. In fact, I didn't realize it took a picture. That's awesome.
So just about as fast as you can press it off.
Yeah. So that's what's really happening here is these are becoming the point-and-shoot cameras of the 2013.
Yeah, we're really narrowing that gap between the consumer grade digital cameras. And one of the things that has been lagging behind is that lapse from shot to shot. So
right.
we've really decreased that.
Right, and that's important if you're taking pictures of dogs, cats, or small children. I like this. This is great. So how much will this be when it comes out?
We haven't announced prices, so we'll wait. That'll be AT&T's privilege when the launch timing comes. But it'll be seeing this in the second quarter. And when it does launch, it's not going to be Sony Ericsson.
That's right.
That's right.
So you guys are parting ways a little bit?
Yes,
Sony?
Now I have to give you the disclaimer.
Yeah, tell me what happened.
Subject to regulatory approvals.
Right.
But Sony has decided that the Xperia smartphones are so integral to their four-screen story of connectivity and content sharing and things like that, that they want to acquire and divest Ericsson of the joint venture.
So this will be an all-Sony phone.
It will be all-Sony. It'll be the first one in the U.S. and launching at AT&T with LTE.
You know, I know you probably at home can't see how good the picture quality is, but it's really spectacular.
Well, and not only is the screen HD, but you really have HD all around. Both cameras are HD.
Both?
Yeah.
The front-facing is how?
Yeah, the front-facing is 720p,
and
the primary, the rear camera, is 1080p.
Wow. That's
and then you have full 1080p HDMI transfer.
Wow. Very nice. That's the Ion. What else do you have here?
Then we have a product that it's intended for markets globally, and it comes in a black and a white version.
Similar to the Ion.
Yeah, that's the Xperia S.
Okay.
And these two products share much more in common than they have differences. For example, they both have the content story of being preloaded with Sony Entertainment Network. So Music Unlimited and Video Unlimited, for music and your TV shows and movies, and PlayStation certified as well.
And still 1280 by 720.
Yeah.
Slightly smaller, though.
Slightly smaller screen, 4.3 inches versus the 4.6 on the Xperia Ion. And these are HSPA Plus, not LTE.
Okay.
So a couple of differences between them.
But you still have the 12 megapixel camera?
Yeah. All the camera specs are the same, the screen, et cetera.
And 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor.
Yes.
So these are the, the fastest phones out there right now.
NFC capability, too.
That's interesting. Yeah. You know, one of the uses for NFC that I'm starting to see is not, you know, you think of it as pay at the cash register applications, but also for Bluetooth pairing. I'm starting to see Ford has announced they're going to use NFC in their cars. So instead of having to go through that elaborate pairing process, you'll just tap the phone to the dashboard.
Yes. We've announced accessories called smart tags. And you can have smart tags that are pre-configured for different environments, like one for your car, for example. So you get in your car, you've got that particular smart tag on your dashboard, you tap it, and it kicks in the Bluetooth, kicks in your navigation.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So the whole system is customized for the places you are.
Yeah, now you can customize. It comes pre-configured, but you can go in and customize it further.
Very nice. So this will be not available in the U.S., yes?
It might. I think what you might see it as an unlock product. So this is more of a global markets product. But one thing to point out there that is one distinction between the two is the design of the product. Look down there on the bottom. You have this transparent element. Mm-hmm. And if you were to press the power button on the top, you can illuminate and see how it just shines. So it's a really cool design statement on the Xperia S.
Is it doing it? Yeah, you can. It's so bright in here you can barely see it.
Yeah.
But that glows.
Yeah.
That's neat. So that's the Xperia S. This is the Ion standing right next to it upside down. And all three products coming soon.
Q1 for the Xperia S.
Okay.
Q2 for the Xperia Ion. And again, full intentions that both of those products will be Sony branded.
Yo, I love this glow. It's really too bright in here to see it, but if you were in a dark room or in your car, this would really be helpful for finding those buttons. I'd like to see that glow on the Ion. Maybe you could add that next year.
Next time.
Very good. Very nice stuff. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really
Thank you,
appreciate
Leo.
It.
My pleasure.
And Stephen, we're going to start calling it Sony, not Sony Ericsson. When is that's pending regulatory approval?
Pending regulatory approval. Right. We're looking at hopefully later this quarter. We'll wait and see. Maybe something announced at Mobile World Congress. Who knows?
All right.
We'll wait and see.
Very good. Thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure,
nice
Leo.
Nice to see you, Stephen.
Thank you.
I have to say, I'm going to have to give a second look to those Sony phones. They really are sweet. I love a big screen. 6-inch display, 720p. That's for me. Well, we're going to take a break as we get... actually, let's do this. Let's go to Iaz. Iaz Akhtar, who is going to take a look at another AT&T. AT&T is getting all the good phones. Another AT&T LTE phone. This one running Windows and it's got a 16-megapixel camera. Let's take a look at the HTC Titan 2.
I'm Iaz Akhtar with Twit.tv, and we're taking a look at the HTC Titan 2. This is a Windows phone, but it is capable of running on an LTE network, and in this case, it's the AT&T LTE network. Let's take a real quick look at the design. You can see a massive 4.7-inch LCD screen. On the back, we have a 16-megapixel camera with two LEDs for a flash. You can see up top, we've got a headphone jack, power button, toggle, and a camera button. Let's go ahead and play with this. Let's open this up very slowly. Let's go right to the camera, because it's a 16-megapixel camera. Let's take a look at a picture of unsuspecting people. Inside, it's got a 1.5 gigahertz processor from Qualcomm, a Snapdragon processor. It's got 16 gigabytes of onboard storage as well. Pricing and availability about this HTC Titan 2, not available right now. We'll find out soon enough. I'm Iaz Akhtar with Twit.tv. Thanks for watching.
Nice job, Iaz. Thank you. You know, one of the things that happens at CES is a lot of these products are first announcements, previews, they haven't done the deals yet, or they don't want to release availability. We always ask price and availability, but as you can see, sometimes we just don't know. And, you know, that means it'll be coming out later. Sometimes you see stuff that's not going to come out at all. I remember last year we saw a product from Sonomex that had not yet come out. It took a while, but it finally came out towards the end of the year. Hear from Sonomex right now.
What's your name?
Arabian Prince.
Arabian Prince?
Well, actually,
dude.
Well, I got a quick little story to tell
you. Is that your stage name?
Stage name? I'm actually Arabian Prince from the rap group NWA with Dr. Dre and Ice Cube.
No,
and all those
you're
guys.
The Arabian Prince.
That's me.
Oh, I am honored to meet you.
With the villain front
NWA, I mean, you guys rock.
Yeah.
You're the kings.
Yeah, well,
wow.
We're getting old like Elvis.
I know you are. You know, you're old school. You're older than old school these
days.
There we are. That's awesome. Well, it's great to see you.
Oh, great to have me on.
So Sonamax has hired you to... You know, it's very interesting. Everybody now has headphones.
Yes.
Ludacris has headphones.
Yes.
Does Dre have headphones?
Dre has the biggest. Beats is the biggest
Dre's
brand
got
right
got
now.
Beats?
Yep.
Everybody. 50
right.
Cent is
50,
here with
yep.
headphones?
Yes.
Notice I'm very street. I said 50. I just
50.
Want you to know how.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
For the last 5 years, I've been saying 50 cents.
Yeah.
And finally somebody said, you know, it really isn't cents.
Yeah.
So Arabian Prince, tell us a little bit about these headphones. We saw them last year. In fact,
yes,
they
you did.
Stuck them in my head.
Yes, they did.
But they're out now.
They're out now. And basically, it's a little different for me, you know, being a rapper. I'm not here as like the name of the product, endorsing the product. I'm a tech geek myself. I mean, I started
awesome.
Back with you guys way back in the
no
day.
No kidding.
Dude, BBS is 1200 baud modems.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I own a video game company, special effects company now as
oh,
well.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
so,
cool.
So, me, I'm a technology guy.
Yeah.
And I've always looked for the perfect sound. I'm a sonic guy. And all of the headphones now, no disrespect to anyone here, I love a lot of the different products. But the problem is getting the perfect fit. And getting the perfect sonic sound.
Well, and I have to say there's a lot of focus on design and style and
yes.
a lot less focus on audio quality.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a lot of that's kids who are listening to MP3, 128 kilobit MP3s on crappy earbuds. Anything's going to sound, you know, Skullcandy's going to sound better
yeah.
than anything they've got, but you can do better.
You can do much better.
Yeah.
And Sonamax, I love the company to death. There are a bunch of, I call them wild, crazy French Canadians from Montreal that love to protect the hearing. And
right.
one thing this will do, because there's a 20% rate of increase in hearing loss in teenagers because
terrible.
Of the earbuds now.
Turn them up
because they don't fit correctly.
Right.
So they make them louder and louder and louder.
Right.
With the perfect fit technology in Sonamax, you know, getting that molded perfect fit, you block out all the outside noise and you cut down the amount of DV level that you have to turn the
right.
volume up to
right.
get the sound you want.
I like in-ear monitors. And I know musicians, I'm using Ultimate Ears right now.
Right.
I know musicians for years have used in-ear monitors for two reasons. It seals out the concert hall sound so you're hearing the actual mix, but also and it protects your ears.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's really important. If you're on stage and it's loud up there, you got to protect your ears.
Oh, yeah. And the other good point is, I've used Ultimate Ears. I've been sponsored by them before, so
yeah.
I have tons of pairs of in-ears.
Right.
The problem is, as you've probably done...
You got to go to audiologist. It's
audiologist.
Expensive. These things cost me thousands of dollars,
Now, we're talking $199,
yeah.
$299, five-minute fit in your home, straight
yeah.
out the box.
No audiologist involved.
No assisted fit. This is self-fit now.
I'm going to tell you, Arabian Prince, I was a little skeptical when we saw them last year.
Yeah.
I thought, there's no way you're going to be able to sell these, especially in the United States where everybody's suing everybody else.
Right.
Because you're going to put this thing on your head, and you're going to stick it in your ear, and it inflates. And you know what? They're selling them, and people love them. I saw it at the airport the other day. They're
yes.
selling them everywhere.
Yeah, they're selling like hotcakes. And another important thing for you, I know you've left your moles, haven't you? Haven't you lost them or left them somewhere?
Constantly.
And you had to use something
constantly.
Else? Constantly. Imagine being on a road.
Yeah.
You've got four or five of these as backup
yeah.
in your gear.
You can always make
pop
new
them
moles.
Out. Make them in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Are you seeing musicians starting to use these too?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. A lot of the up-and-coming garage musicians.
Yeah, you can't afford to get these very expensive
no.
molded headphones. But
no,
you
no,
need
no.
good headphones. You
yeah.
need to be able to hear clearly.
Yeah, and we're actually doing gaming now.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to make gaming headphones.
That's cool.
We're doing
Tell me about what you're doing. You're doing a special effects company?
I own a special effects company, a video game company.
What's the name of the company?
My company is called Hypnotic FX. It's not on the internet because we're private, you know, so you can't find it.
I'm starting
it.
To search
see,
for
there
you,
go.
Dude.
You know, being in the business I'm in, I don't need to be public.
Right.
Everything I do is more private.
Right.
And
right.
we're doing a lot of stuff, and that's how I got with this company.
That's
a lot
cool.
of design, a lot of focus on design and newer generation products. So that's
wow.
what we're going to be doing.
Well, I'm so honored to meet you.
No, I'm honored to meet you. Like
yeah,
I said,
I'm sorry, I didn't. When you said Arabian Prince, I didn't think. The Arabian
Prince. Oh, yeah.
just a Arabian Prince.
Yeah, one of them.
So cool. And now the Sonamax has two models. There's a single-driver model and a two-driver model.
Yes.
And two-driver gives you better sound, but you have a higher price. It's
yes,
$100
more. $100
more.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool.
Great.
Now, they said they were going to fit me with these, but I think we have to do a show.
Yeah, you got to do a show. We all know about it, and it's out there for the mass markets to
get. You see me. If you haven't, go back to last year and watch me. Becky Worley had to fill for like 5 minutes while my ears were getting exploded. And it was actually, it's very simple, very easy to do.
Yes.
It's not scary.
No.
And it really does produce. I love my Sonomax. I have them at the office.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to keep this new pair and do it later for yourself.
Deal.
Yep. Great meeting you.
So nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Arabian Prince NWA, I'm going to say it, the greatest original rap group of all time.
I
mean, you guys,
it.
And you've all gone on to great things.
Yes.
You know, Dre's amazing. I mean, it's just really fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming by. I appreciate it. Arabian
thank
Prince.
You.
All right. We're going to move on. Man, you sandbagged me with this guy. I didn't realize I was getting to make a rock star. Wow. Ears guaranteed to fit perfectly in 5 minutes. We've seen those before. Last year, they're out now, and you know when I wear them in the studio, you've seen me wear them in the studio, and I've mentioned before that I started using the Ultimate Ears, which I don't like as much. They're very uncomfortable because the impedance on the Sonomax is high. They're really they're more of a high fidelity earbud, so that's exactly why. Let's take a break, and we're going to take a look in just a bit at some Ultrabooks. Before we do, I want to talk a little bit about Ford and Ford's electric vehicles. Ford's a big presence here at CES. I hope you saw my interview with Alan Mulally. It's on our Twitch specials. He was great. He is a quality guy. And, you know, one of the things you realize when you spend some time with him is that he has really focused Ford to make it a company driven by values. And he enumerated the values. He said, you know, ever since Henry Ford and Bill Ford, his son, have been running this company, it's all been about making a car that's affordable so that everybody can drive. When Henry Ford started, only the very rich could afford cars. Thanks to Henry Ford, his assembly line technologies, he made it possible for everyone to own a car. He wanted to open up the highways to everybody, and he absolutely did that. He turned America into a car-loving country. And you know what? We still love our Fords. I got to say, I drive a 2010 Ford Mustang. But Ford's keeping up with the future in really remarkable ways. Here at the show, they announced the 2013 Fusion, spectacular car. The 2012 Focus, which we saw last year, is now in stores. You're able to go to your Ford dealer and take a look at the gas-driven 2012 Focus, and now the new 2012 Ford Focus Electric. Next year, we're going to see the 2013 C-Max Energy plug-in hybrid. These are very interesting cars. A plug-in hybrid is essentially, they call it a 100-mile-per-gallon car. It could be even more. Here's what happens. You plug it in. If you can, you install that Leviton charging station, 240-volt charging station. It will charge the 2012 Focus Electric in 3 to 4 hours. So if you have the hybrid, you plug it in. Same thing. Charge up that battery. On the plug-in hybrid, you get about 15 miles range, but you also have a gas engine. So if you need to go farther, it's a hybrid as well. So what happens is if you do a lot of bopping around town, most of my driving is that way, you're doing that all electric with zero emissions. When you need the longer range, you've got it. It's a really great compromise between a gas engine and an all-electric vehicle. The Ford Focus is perfect for me. It's a great-looking car with all of great Ford technology, things like regenerative braking, so that you get about 90% of the kinetic energy lost in conventional engines when you brake due to friction in the brake pads. It sends that energy back to the battery pack for later use. You get the Sync with My Ford Touch special version, the EV version, which lets you maximize your range as you're driving and even before you get in the car. They have apps for the phones and all sorts of information systems on board and off board to help you manage the recharge process, to determine the most eco-friendly driving route in the GPS, to remotely control the vehicle charge and preconditioning settings, to monitor the battery state of charge, maximize efficiency. And it's also lets you charge when the rates are the lowest. Value charging, powered by Microsoft, allows Ford customers to reduce their electricity costs by taking advantage of off-peak or reduced rates from the utilities without any complicated setup process. More and more utilities, I know we're getting in California this year, are really changing their rate structure so that they charge you a lot more during peak hours. You don't want to charge the car during those hours. This technology automatically makes sure you're charging the car at the least expensive time to do it. You can also change you know, program information about your charge settings. You can download vehicle data for analysis. It's really incredible. It's an all-electric, this 2012 Focus, without a gasoline engine. It's zero CO2 emissions, true zero emission car, zero CO emissions as well. That's important. Lithium-ion batteries. That means you can top off without reducing the lifespan of the battery. It's just really incredible. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric, available for reservations now. I am on the list. And the 2013 Ford C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid, coming in the fall of 2013. So that's something to look forward to. And what is amazing about Ford is they've really decided, instead of having just one electric car, to make their entire car line fuel efficient, energy efficient, to offer these various powertrains across the board. And I think that that is a really great long-term strategy. They want to do it right. That's what happens when you get a company that's engineering-driven, driven by the engineers. They want to get it right. Take a look at a Ford at your local Ford dealer. Drive one today or visit Ford.com/technology. All right, we've got another review. Tom Merritt is here to take a look at the HP Envy Spectra 14. It's one of these ultrabooks. Let's take a look.
Which one is the Mac? I'm Tom Merritt, CES 2012. This is the HP Envy Spectre. We saw a bunch of teaser videos for this before CES, and now it's here. It's an ultrabook. That's Intel's new designation for thin and light laptops that are like the MacBook Air. $1,399, but the cool thing is this part is made entirely of glass, and it's got glass down here by the touchpad as well. Now, the idea is that that's supposed to make it lighter. I don't know if it works. This thing is 4 pounds, but it is very cool, and it might actually allow for the antenna to receive Wi-Fi a little better. It's got the typical HP Envy layout, which is very MacBook-like, and it comes with Beats Audio, which is HP's big deal in a lot of their line. Also has a proprietary wireless system for streaming audio in your home. Has this machined volume button here as well, which is kind of nifty. And to keep the profile thin, it actually, on the other side here, uses a nifty thing with the Ethernet connection so that you just drop it down to put your Ethernet in. Also comes with the display port, USB 3.0, and it's probably the prettiest ultrabook we've seen at CES. Once again, $1,399, available February 8th. It's the HP Envy Spectre at CES 2012. I'm Tom Merritt.
Thank you, Tom Merritt. We actually are going to look at a number of ultrabooks right now. This is, of course, the line that Intel has really been pushing, and I think it's what consumers want. I've been using a MacBook Air for years, and since they came out, and I've been a big fan. But it's not just HP. Lenovo also has an ultrabook. This is their IdeaPad Yoga. Here to show us, Stephen Sneeden has the latest. That was Stephen Sneeden. You're Stephen Miller. Another Stephen. Hi, Stephen. Welcome.
Hey, good
I have business
to see
cards
you.
All over the place. Hey.
No worries.
So is this the Yoga?
This is the Yoga,
We've been hearing about this.
You know, it's a little darling of the show. We're having a fantastic time talking about it, and it is that good, actually, so it makes sense.
Why do you call it the IdeaPad Yoga?
Okay, we'll get to the Yoga in a second, because you're just talking about ultrabooks, and we started with ultrabooks last fall.
Yeah.
And then, so this is the new generation of that. And it comes in about 17 millimeters, and it's very slim. But
can I hold it?
Absolutely.
Do you mind?
3.2 pounds.
I'm a big fan. I think it's, now you eliminate the optical drive to get it that thin.
Absolutely. And most of the time you go to SDD drives and things like that.
I don't really care. Yeah. I don't use an optical drive anymore, and I don't want that extra thickness or extra weight. By the way, I notice this is running Windows 8.
Absolutely. We will ship it with Windows 7, but it really comes alive with 8. And so we're really.
Is this a touchscreen?
That's what part of what makes it Yoga. And it's not just one touch, is actually 10 finger touch. The reason why it's called Yoga, we use it like a regular ultrabook, just as a notebook PC.
Right.
But then, since it is touch, and Windows 8 will be optimized as a tablet OS, a mobile OS,
right.
If you flip it all the way backwards.
Wow, I don't have to press any buttons, it just goes.
No, it just goes. We have a very unique hinge design, and that lets us have the world's first multi-position ultrabook. So now you're not just touch, as you did notice, but it is 10 finger touch.
Yeah, so I can use all 10 fingers?
10. So you can play a piano.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
There's a piano app on here.
There's a piano app on the main screen of 8 there, yep. And so we realized as we watched people using our tablets, the IdeaPad K1 or the ThinkPad tablet, mm-hmm. How are they using them? They weren't just using them in tablet mode. They would hold a folio and use them with the keyboard, or they would use them flipped around. So Yoga actually is the multi-position.
Wow.
So you can flip it around and use the keyboard as a stand, use it as a notebook, You can use it as a tablet. So really any position you can think
of. So is the screen rotate if I put it like this?
Absolutely.
It's going to rotate this
is the prototype, so it does not, but it will.
It will.
The very next
so
version.
It's accelerometer based?
Absolutely. All four positions, just like a tablet. So all
it can really go any way that you want.
Hence the name yoga. Absolutely.
This is downward dog.
That one is indeed downward dog.
We got warrior pose. Yeah.
There is warrior, and there's camel. You're not far from camel. Yeah, we've been going through all of that.
Obviously, you do. You're a little practitioner yourself.
A little bit, yeah. So
that is 10 multi-finger touch.
10 multi-finger
touch. That's more
touch.
Than the iPad. That's really
it
great.
It actually is. And this is at a 400-nit IPS screen, so you get about 178-degree viewable angle on an extremely bright screen.
It is a very nice. Look at that. I mean, I could turn it like this.
Absolutely.
Like this. It is really a bright, beautiful screen.
This is the fourth notebook in our Ultrabook line. We start at $699, actually.
Yeah.
We use a hybrid HDD to get to that lower price point. And now
this is an SSD in here,
this is SSD, absolutely.
Do you know what specs you're going to have yet in this?
Well, you know, if it were today, it would probably be a 128 or go up to a 256.
Right. But knows,
Second half of the year when Windows 8 comes out, it'll at least be 256, right?
Yeah. So. And the processor in here,
it's up to an i7. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the IdeaPad Yoga with a 10-point multi-touch display. And are you guessing $1,000, $1,500?
$1,000 to $1,200.
$1,000 to $1,200. Okay.
Yep.
That's good. Do you also have the S2 with you?
I do not have the S2 with me. But the S2 is really
that's
happiest.
Your tablet. That's IdeaTab.
It's actually an IdeaTab. And what we've done with that is it's a tablet that clicks into a base. So it's a Qualcomm 1.5 dual processor.
Wow.
But what's really nice about it, when it kicks into the bottom of the base, it clicks solid, so it doesn't really fall out like a folio. And when it's in there, you double your battery life. You go from 10 hours. The base has another 10 hours.
Right.
So you're looking at 20 hours of battery life.
And you're going to put that out with ice cream sandwich.
Absolutely.
That'll be an ice cream sandwich.
Yep.
8-megapixel rear camera.
Yep.
Front-facing camera as well.
Absolutely.
And wait a minute, that can't be right. There must be a typo. $349?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
The tablet market prices have really come to everyday.
That's going to put the screws to Apple. $349.
I believe that it is. Yeah, it's a really nice device.
How much will the dock be?
The dock is about, it comes with.
Comes with? Comes not for $349.
It's another $100.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, now you're really.
Well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
Just get it all.
Who wouldn't?
That's the IdeaTab S. To Stephen Miller from Lenovo. Thank you for
stopping
by.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.
Been a big fan, of course, since you bought the ThinkPads.
Absolutely.
The ThinkPad line is great. And what's nice is Lenovo has, of course, kept the ThinkPad alive. But now with these IdeaPads, you're making a broad range of consumer laptops that are really state-of-the-art, beautiful.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, Think dominates the business world and ideas for the consumer world.
Yeah, that's great. Now, we're going to take a break and take a look at another product that was announced at E3. We've got a couple of E3 products. Tom Merritt is going to take a look at the Nintendo. Get ready. I want to say this. Wii U. Tom?
Hey, I'm Tom Merritt at CES 2012 for TWiT. And we're taking a look here at the Wii U. Now, it's still in design, so this isn't the final version of the controller. It's not the final version of the box. But what they are showing off is a few different ways that you can use the Wii U. If you're wondering, what am I going to do with this controller with the touchscreen and the weird camera in it? Here's a few examples. First one they showed was multiplayer, and it was a hide-and-seek sort of game where the four players are playing the way you would normally expect with the nunchucks and the Wiimote, but the fifth person is only playing on this. They can see everybody else, so they can run and hide and know how to try to get away from everyone else, while the other folks can't see them, and they have to communicate with each other while they're playing in that four-quadrant screen on the top. Also showing off some really cool footage of HD Zelda. It's not an official game or anything, just kind of showing off the concept of how Zelda looks in HD. It's the best Zelda's ever looked, I have to say. Probably still some work to smooth it out, but really dramatic looking footage. And then finally, a concept of a driving, not a driving game, but sort of driving around a neighborhood, giving you a chance to use the motion in the new controller so that you can look up and look down just by moving the controller around. Like I said, nothing else new from E3, but if you didn't get a chance to see it, you have two control sticks, left and right, your AX, AYB buttons, your motion controller, and all of that here, plus your normal Wiimotes and your nunchucks, as you would expect it. It's the Wii U at CES 2012. I'm
Nothing
Tom Merritt.
Normal about your Wiimotes and your nunchucks. I have to say, Nintendo's really got the screws put to them because Xbox and PlayStation 3 are so much more advanced. And I don't know if the Wii U is enough, really, to take the Wii into the 21st century. We'll have to see. We're going to talk some more about tablets. In fact, we've got Nicole Lee up here bringing us the Toshiba Excite X10.
This is tablet. Quite the tablet. It's a big one.
Well, first of all, it's big, but it's very light.
Very thin.
This is lighter than my iPad.
It's very thin. It's very lightweight.
It is also kind of an interesting design because it has this black bar all the way around it. Is it a 3G tablet?
This one, I believe, is wireless only. But
wireless
I think that might be a 3G one.
I feel like that might be
an
antenna. The plastic might be an antenna. It does have a micro SD card slot, an HDMI slot also on it. That's one of the things that companies are trying to compete with Apple by doing, is offering more capability. It's running Ice Cream Sandwich or Honeycomb? I can't tell. It looks like Honeycomb.
Oh, right. I think right now it's Honeycomb. I believe, you know, they always say it's ICS upgradable.
It
so
will
I think
be
this
on
one.
ICS. Right. Yeah. I'll tell you, the attractive part about this is the brushed metal back, which is very nice. It's a good-looking 16:9 display. Of course, Apple is not. It's 4x3. And it's very lightweight, which is
very
amazing.
Very lightweight.
What do we know about battery life?
Battery life, you know, they always say it's around 8, 10 hours or
right.
so, but, you know, we're not entirely sure.
You have to test it to find out.
Yeah, they haven't really tested it.
7.7 millimeters thick, 5 megapixel rear camera, 2 megapixel front camera.
Yeah.
It's an OMAP processor, dual core, 1.2 gigahertz. A gig of RAM, that's nice.
Yeah.
And it's a 1280 by 800 touch display, so it's a very high resolution display.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how multi-touch it is. We can't really tell until we sit down. Again, these are all first looks because these are brand
new
products
just
coming out.
Yeah, right. We have not really play with them.
They say 520 for the 16 gigabyte model and $600 for the 32 gigabyte model. So these are a little more pricey. This is the Toshiba Excite X10 tablet. I do think the display is very pretty.
And all of these tablets are trying to go after the iPad, right? And I think
right.
this is very compelling.
Right.
As an alternative, anyway.
Yeah. I think the problem is Android. I think people are just not taken to Android as an operating system on a tablet. Yeah. You also have the original Android tablet, the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
This is different.
Yeah.
This is the upgraded, it is the first ever tablet with Super AMOLED Plus.
Samsung is famous, of course, for its Super AMOLED displays.
And that is a big deal.
This is 7.7 inches, and I think even at home you could probably see how much brighter that display is. That is gorgeous. This will be on Verizon using Verizon's LTE, so it'll also be very, very fast. It's thin, dual core, 1.4 gigahertz processors. This one's running Gingerbread. No, that's a Honeycomb. I think that's Honeycomb. I can't really tell.
No, that's I believe is Honeycomb. And this, I apologize, I was a little bit rushed, but this was a ICS ice cream sandwich.
That was ice cream sandwich.
Toshiba was the ice cream sandwich.
Toshiba does have ICS. This will too, though. I mean, you know, everybody's going to put ice cream sandwich on it. So the big story is that AMOLED display. Boy, is that beautiful! That is pretty spectacular. Let me just put the weather in and just see if we get what the display looks like. Las Vegas weather.
So, I mean, the display, I don't know if you can see it at home, but it is gorgeous. The blacks
really
are really
beautiful.
Black.
Yeah.
It's very saturated.
Yeah. It's interesting because for a long time, the first OLED displays we saw were on, like, the Mobi Cube. They were, like, this big. They were tiny. And they've gotten better and better at making them bigger and bigger. The next size up, we started to see them on the 4.5-inch
displays. This is compatible with Verizon's 4G LTE network.
Right.
So that's
nice,
another
fast
good
network.
Thing about it,
yeah. And now they got to 7, and I guess we have to figure they're even bigger because 55-inch OLED displays are on display here on the show floor. And they say they will be making them this year. They're not like prototypes that they won't be making. They're going to be making them and out this year. So whatever the manufacturing problems were that kept them from doing larger screen sizes, that Samsung and others have obviously licked them. This I'm just going to look because, you know, Samsung does do subpixel rendering on some of its displays. This does not seem to have that subpixel rendering issue. It really looks gorgeous. This, and I like the form factor. I like a 7-inch.
It's so light and thin. It really fits in your pocket.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the Note, which is kind of in between. So you can now get Samsung a Galaxy S2 in 4.0 to 4.6 inches. You can get a Galaxy Note in,
five inches,
and then 7.7 inches. So really, while Apple's just staying with 10.1 inches, and, of course, it's 3.5 inch iPhone, there really are a lot of choices now in the
Android. It's very interesting. They're very different, flexible, you know, whatever size screen you want, they have it for you.
Very nice. Nicole, thank you for bringing those by. I really appreciate it. Now Alex Lindsay has a review of the hottest thermostat on the market. Let's take a look at the Nest.
Hey, this is Alex.
I'll be
and
back.
As you probably know watching me on MacBreak, I'm pretty touchy about interfaces. I want things to be simple. I want them to be straightforward. I want to just be able to use it. And no matter how smart I like to think that I am, I'm always confused by any of the more complex thermostats because they start adding features, but the problem is you're trying to get to those features through little buttons and everything else. So this is the Nest, and this is going to be my solution. That's all I have to say. I am getting one of these. So what this is a thermostat. So you're probably wondering why I'm so excited about a thermostat. Well, it's because it is so straightforward, easy to use, graphical, so, and everybody's talking about it. So you have this here, and all you do is simply click on it, and now you've got this great interface here, and I can sit there and go through schedule. I can go through my settings. I can go through my how much energy. So, for instance, I can go in here, and look, I mean, it's a great little interface. I can click on here, and it'll tell me, I used it about 10 hours. It's not connected to anything right now, so I didn't really use it, but it gives you an idea of how that works. And then I can just zoom back here. I can say I'm done. I can decide I want to set my heat, and you see me just kind of roll it over, and it says, okay, in the next, for the next 20 minutes, I want to get it up here. In 20 minutes, 73. And then I can also go up here and just simply to say, I want to talk about when we're going to actually do the cooling. So I can go in here and start setting that. And I'm kind of setting it backwards, if you haven't guessed. But the point is that you have this nice little setting. Now, I can also schedule it, and the scheduling usually requires like a PhD degree to figure this out on a normal one. But with this one, you simply click, and you can see these little markers, and those are little keyframes, essentially, of where you want, what temperature you want it to be at. So what you can do is I can simply click, say I want to do a new one, and now I can simply find the time, click on it again, and simply set that temperature, click on it again, and now it's set. If I click here, I can then go, I am done, and go out. And so now I've set another keyframe of where I want that temperature to be. So again, it may seem like a crazy thing to be so excited about, but when you look at this interface, you just feel like, why didn't somebody else think of this first? I mean, this is just an incredibly well-designed, well-implemented solution for what should be a very simple problem, and now is. Now, this little guy is about $250, and that's going to be a little bit more than you're used to spending on a thermostat. But it is but when you think about the time and the effort, and the fact that you're actually going to have some control over your house, it's worth it.
That's Alex Lindsay. He really loves that Nest. Now, I have to say, remember that everything we're showing you here, we've seen for the first time at CES. In almost every case, these are not intended to be reviews. They're really just, first looks, hands-on, where we give you the specs, we show you the product. We'll take many of these back to the studios at the Brick House and give you more full reviews on Before You Buy as time goes by. You really can't tell. I know a number of other people I've seen here at the show floor trying to do full reviews, and I just don't think you can do a full review until you have a chance to really use these in a real world setting for more than a few hours. So we won't do those reviews. These are just first looks. We actually have a first look at something I'm pretty excited about: Sony's successor to the PSP coming up, plus a pretty nice new phone from LG. Before we get to those, I want to remind you all that Netflix. I just ran into a guy from Netflix. He said, "Do you hate us?" I said, "Are you kidding? I love you. I still love you. I understand. I think Netflix is one of the greatest companies out there, and it's been a difficult struggle in some ways for them to figure out how to continue to do the DVD business when the studios are squeezing them so hard. That's why I recommend and use Netflix streaming. It's the best deal out there." In content, $7.99 a month, and you have unlimited movies, TV shows, a great selection to choose from. If you want to try this for a month and you tell me we'll give you the Netflix challenge. Go to netflix.com/twit. Sign up for 1 month absolutely free and take a look. See all the different shows you can watch and enjoy on Netflix. I think you'll see that whatever else you do, you know, watching television, that Netflix is to me, it's the go-to product. And I got to say, every single TV we're seeing out there, every single brand new smart television, absolutely the very first icon on the screen is that red Netflix icon. Netflix is on every TV, on Blu-ray drives, on laptops, on desktops, of course on your iPad, iPhone, and Android phones and tablets. Netflix.com/twit. Try it free today. And if you're already a Netflix subscriber, you know, check it out. Remind yourself how great it is. Tell some friends. Ask them to use the same code, netflix.com/twit. I want to make a couple of corrections. The chat room is on me, as always. Thank goodness they're here. 9.7 inches is the size of the iPad screen. And I didn't know this, but the iPad also does 10-point touch. I, for some reason, I thought it was 5-point touch. It's not a big, important stat because I can't truthfully think of many applications for all 10 fingers on a touch screen, except for the one that we showed you, which was playing a keyboard. Yeah, you might want to have all fingers in. Even then, you probably don't use all 10 fingers at the same time, do you? Now, we're going to bring Nicole back. She has some fun stuff, including something we've heard about, I think first heard about at E3, and I still don't know how to pronounce it, the Sony PlayStation...
Vita.
Vita? We're in agreement. It's the Vita?
It's the Vita.
The Vita Vita Vegemin. This is...
So it's not even out for the U.S. yet. This is sort of
success?
The Japanese model.
Oh, okay. So it is out in Japan.
It's out in Japan. It won't be out until February 22nd in the U.S.
So this is really their successor to the PlayStation Portable.
Yes, the PSP successor.
Does it still have that O-Disc or whatever it
was? No. It's just little game cards now.
Just game cards up here
the
in the
top. Yeah.
You slot them in. They look like compact flash cards.
It's very interesting because the front is a multi-touch screen, and on the back there's a rear touchpad on the back as well.
So what would you use that for?
I suppose for navigating as you're sort
so
of...
So as you're playing the
as
game,
you're sort of
you
playing
might do
the game,
this.
You can sort of navigate and touch things
all
while
right.
you're holding it in your hands.
Well, here's a Sony title that is actually a great title that we love, which is called Uncharted. This is a version of Uncharted for the Vita. It's called the Abyss.
So it's an OLED Abyss. Screen. It's a 5-inch OLED screen.
Mm, that's nice.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Can't tell because it's still loading.
Oh, is it kind of stalling? That's too bad.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's all right. It's coming up. It's a big game, I think. The little icon is rolling. So volume control buttons on top. Do you think people will use this as a media device as well?
Yeah, there's an opportunity to hook it up to your media center to sort of load music onto it.
We've got thumbsticks left and right here.
Those two analog thumbsticks, they're very Sony. It's
very
sort of
Sony.
The trademark of
and
Sony.
And, of course, the triangle, circle, square, and X controls. Let's see if we can get a cutscene out of here. Just does it say? Touch to start. All right, I can do that.
So I think it might take some people getting used to it to touch the screen instead of fiddling
with
the controls,
the
right? Yeah.
But you know what is nice about this, and it's true of the PSP, this is even more so because it's thinner and lighter, is that, let's see, continue chapter 11, Finders Keepers, that this is really the controller, and the controller does everything, including
play the
game. The
controller does everything, yeah.
So it's very thin and light. I mean, it's a nice little controller.
It's a nice successor to the PSP,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So that's the Vita. Price?
That's the Vita. $249 for the Wi-Fi version. There will also be a 3G version for AT&T that is not announced yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it has GPS in it?
It has GPS in it.
Does it come with maps?
I think there might be some opportunities for, you know, location-based gaming, perhaps.
Right.
There's also a front camera and a rear camera, and they're saying that's for augmented reality apps. So you can sort
Ooh.
Of use the camera to sort of
yes.
play games depending yeah. on what you're looking at. It's very interesting.
$250 for the Wi-Fi version, unknown for the 3G version, and available February 22nd in the U.S. That's the Vita. I bought a PlayStation Portable, a PSP.
Did you like it?
The day it came out, I got in line. I was in, I think I was in North Carolina. I was in Charleston, and I went over to a Best Buy, and I bought it. Yeah, I liked it okay. We bought a lot of discs. We bought a lot of games.
I think the downfall of the PSP was the disc. The whole idea of the UMD disc.
Terrible idea, the UMD.
Was kind of a bad thing.
Finally, we've got the LG Spectrum. This is a phone. What makes this unique?
So this phone, hold on, let me just turn it on.
4.5 inches, and this is...
So this has a true HD IPS display.
That means 720p?
Yeah, so it's 720p, 4.5 inch, and this, you know, they say they all give all these specifications that it's true HDs, true color, real blacks and all that. So it's available from Verizon Wireless. It's a 4G LTE phone. And it has the ESPN HD app on there. That apparently, you can play ESPN Live and
watch
live sports. And
that's cool.
And they're saying because of its HD quality, you can watch your ESPN shows in quote-unquote true HD.
Well, 720p is true HD. It's not the highest quality.
So the interesting thing about this is 8-megapixel rear camera, but I think what they're saying is that...
8 megapixels in the back, all right.
Yeah.
That's pretty typical nowadays.
What they're saying is that it's $200, which is not bad for a 4G LTE phone. I think that's what they're trying to sort of push here.
4G on the Verizon.
Or on
network.
Verizon.
And in this case, it's running Gingerbread, but as always, what they say now is, but we'll be upgrading to anytime now.
I would only say, like, my sort of cautionary thing about all of these things is that last year I was very excited about the T-Mobile G2X. I mean, remember how that kind of fizzled towards the end? And this is an LG phone as well, so
yeah.
I'm a little bit hesitant to really get into it yet. But so far, so good. It does look very, you know, very colorful and sort of the full spectrum. You know, it's called a spectrum because of its true HD IPS. Display.
You know, it's really interesting. There's so much competition now in the phone market. So many different sizes, displays to look at. Verizon hasn't had a whole lot of choice. This is actually nice to have one more 4G choice on the Verizon marketplace. I don't envy consumers. I guess that's why you have to keep watching before you buy, and we'll give you reviews of all of
these.
Yes,
we'll definitely
phones.
Have a unit of that for review.
Yeah. I'm liking that Resound, the HTC Resound that you lent me. I think that's quite nice. Nice little phone from Verizon. If I were going to get a phone from Verizon right now, I guess it'd be between that and the Galaxy Nexus. Well, Nicole, thank you for putting together a whole bunch of great products for us to take a look at, a first look, a hands-on on Before You Buy. Before You Buy is our new product review show. This is really only our second episode.
You know.
We're going to start weekly production on Thursday.
I hope so.
We're crossing our fingers. We'll do the show 4 p.m. Pacific. Is that right? 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time live Thursdays. And, of course, make it available for download. One of the things we're going to do that's a little unusual with this show is we will take each individual review and also make those available on YouTube. So if you just are interested in one particular product or another, you can go on to YouTube and you can go to the Twit channel, youtube.com/twit, and watch the Before You Buy. You'll be able to see it. Hey, we really want to thank, as long as we're here, you know, doing this is a challenge. I have such a great crew. Something like 15 people came out, including you, Nicole Lee, your first year with us and not CNET. How does that feel? Is it a little different?
It's great.
You don't,
I
you
love
just
it.
Have to
I don't
say
miss
that,
it
don't
at
you?
All.
Have you gone upstairs to the booth and just taken a look at it?
No, I haven't even gone up there.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't miss
them. I don't need them.
Eileen Rivera, our great producer, on the TriCaster today, and actually every day. Alex Gumpel has worked very hard, and I'll tell you, without the TriCaster 8500 Extreme, I don't know if we'd be able to do what we do, not only here but at home in our studio. We are TriCaster fanatics, and I see lots of people using the TriCaster here today, including some pretty big networks. It's a great way. It's the way we do all of our switching, our lower thirds. There it is. There's a shot of the. Amazing switcher that Alex is the only guy who can figure it out, and his Angry Birds decal there as well. Alex Gumpel on the playing the TriCaster, baby. That's the top of his eyebrows. Thank you so much for New Tech for the TriCaster. You can find out more about all the TriCaster models, including the top-of-the-line 850 Extreme that we use at newtech.com. Who else should I thank? Lin Fu, who put this all together. The red-haired stepchild, Chad Johnson.
He's great.
He's just been fantastic. Our camera operators today, Hilton Goring and Brent Bai, who's always here. Those two guys are just amazing. They're working constantly. You know who's really been a great help today and every day is Russell Tammany. He's our contract IT guy. I think he just decided to come to CES for fun. Poor guy, did we put him to work or what? He's been up all late. They were up late two nights ago. They went down to Fry's to buy stuff. If it weren't for Russell, I don't know if we'd be on the air. So thank you, Russell Tammany. Of course, Tony Wang is in the back and there every night. He came in early this morning. He's doing all that editing, cranking all these videos out so you can see everything we cover on our Twit Live specials feed, twit.tv/specials.
Who am I missing? I know there's somebody else. Oh, Jason Howell, Tom Merritt, Iyaz
Akhtar,
Sarah
Lane. They're going to be
for an
award show later this evening.
They are coming up in just a bit to do TNT, and they have to do it on time because they have to run out of here because they're up for an International Academy of Web Television Award for news, probably news for TNT. So you know, you may note that they're a little bit better dressed today than they are usually. That's because they got to go right down the red carpet as soon as they're done with TNT. But most of all, we thank you because we wouldn't be able to do this show without our very dedicated, loyal viewers and fans. Those of you who donate, those of you who bought bricks, of course, but also just by watching, you help us out. We hope you enjoy the programming. We'd love to hear from you. Please do email us. We love your feedback. You can email me, leo@twit.tv, and I'd love to hear from you what you think about the coverage, what you'd like us to do differently or better next year. We're going to do a big trade show in April, the NAB show, the National Association of Broadcaster Shows. We'll be the same exact location. We'll be in the Sky Booth covering that show. So your feedback on our coverage from CES helps us make a better show. Not only at the next CES, but at other broadcast events, live broadcast events that we're doing throughout the year to come. So we really do appreciate you watching. Thank you. And I'll see you next. When do I come back? I'm coming back at 4 to do more stuff, more products. The parade of products continues. Did you ever get a hold of the AR drone people? They're coming tomorrow, okay, because they've got some really neat products. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Before You Buy.